Good to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining me on this Motzai Shabbos for a Daf Yomi Shir. We are holding on Daf. Today's Daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Beis and Beis. We're at the two dots toward the end of the page, about seven lines from the end of the page. Vinodos Yayin Veshemen. Today's Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored as Chusur for Shlema for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. And it's also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Le'ilei Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Ben Chaim Ashra Cohen, Aleh Shalom, and in honor of my wife and children for supporting me as I give the Daf Yomi. We got to learn together each and every day. So I thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to, today's daf is a fascinating daf. First, we're going to discuss the inyanim of kosher and kesher shel kayama, kesher she'ina shel kayama. The Mishnah was mechadish to us that there are certain types of knots that you're allowed to tie. The Gemara is going to challenge that aren't all those things obvious. Every knot that we identify that you're allowed to tie and untie seems to be obviously a temporary knot, and we're going to explain what the chiddush is in each case. Then the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about tying a bucket depending on the type of rope that you use, it may be mutter or it may be asur, and the Gemara is going to discuss which types of ropes would be more likely to be permanently left somewhere and therefore be a problem of kesher shel kayama, and which types of ropes are less likely to be permanently left somewhere, and when we make a gezerah, when we don't make a gezerah of one type of rope or one type of knot unto a different type of rope or knot. Then the second Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about folding clothing and making the bed and doing other things as hachana for after Shabbos, and we're going to relate to how Shabbos and Yom Kippur relate to each other as far as hachana is concerned. But once we're talking about clothing, the Gemara is going to talk about Shabbos clothing and how a person is supposed to have special clothing for Shabbos. This is the sugya in the Masechta about big day Shabbos, about wearing Shabbos clothing. We're going to talk about other things also that are Shabbistic and how a person should behave differently on Shabbos. But once we're talking about Shabbos clothing, we mentioned that Rus, we learn the inyan of Shabbos clothing partially from Megillas Rus as well, so we're going to talk about a number of other items relating to Derech Eretz that we learn from Megillas Rus. So that is the basic outline of the daf. Let's begin at the two dots, about seven lines from the end of the page, on daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Vinodos Yayin Veshemen. So we said that if you have jugs of wine or oil that are tied closed, you're allowed to untie them on Shabbos. So Pshita, of course you're allowed to untie them. Obviously, they're made to be constantly untied and retied in order to access the wine and the oil. So now the case is that there are two knots that tie, that there are two openings that are both tied shut. So you might think that one of them you're going to leave tied permanently, and that's a kesher shel kayama, and the other one you'll untie as needed. So kamashmulan, that we're not concerned that that's what you're going to do, and that you randomly might untie one one time and another one the other time, and therefore neither of them are really a kesher shel kayama. Kedera shel basar, we then said that you could tie or untie a pot of meat closed. So says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious also? Obviously you're going to need to access the meat. So lo tzricha disla shalacha. Now the case is that there's a spout. So ma'u detema betuli mevatala. So I might think you're mevatal the knot, because if you want to access the meat, you'll do it through the spout. I would imagine that we're talking about some sort of stew. I would imagine that a London broil is not going to come through a spout. So probably we're talking about some sort of meat stew, some sort of a chalon that would come out through a spout. So I might think that you're being mevatel the knot. So Kamash Mulan therefore comes to tell us that you're not going to leave the knot there forever either. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Kosher, and then Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov had told us in the Mishnah that you kosher lefnei behema bishul shlotetze, he had said, that you could tie a rope in front of an animal in order to block the animal from going out. So says the Gemara, Pshita, obviously you're allowed to do that, because obviously it's meant as an entrance and an exit to let the animal out, let the animal back in. So you're obviously always going to untie it and retie it. Lo, tzricha disla tarti isri. Rashi has 2 days what this means. Let's stick with the day that says that there are two knots, because you're going to take the rope and you're going to put it across the entrance of the animal. So here my Zoom box works for me, right? You put one at this end of the Zoom box and the other at that end of the Zoom box, right? So that blocks the animal, because you're tying tying the rope at both ends of the entrance. So I might think, since you're doing that, that one of them you'll leave constantly tied on. When you want to let the animal out, you'll untie this one and just move the rope out of the way. The animal will go out, and then when you want to retie it, you'll leave this one tied the whole time, and then you'll just retie the other end. So kamash mulan, that we're not concerned that that's what you're going to do. That we in fact paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. If you tell me we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that seems to indicate that there's some sort of machlokas over here. What difference does it make if there's a machlokas? Either way, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so who cares if there's a machlokas or not? I'm like, Gemara Zmir Tatei. You think the whole Gemara is just a song, meaning it's important to know what the Deya that's Cholek says, and if there is a Deya that's Cholek, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, even the opinion that's rejected, the Halacha, is also Talmud Torah, if the opinion exists. But if the opinion doesn't exist, then it wouldn't be worthwhile to learn a counterpoint. But the idea is that it's important to know what a Shita of the Chacham was, because that's also part of Torah. Says the Mishnah, Koshen Deli Bipiskai Bipsikya Avalo B'chevel. You're allowed to tie a pail with a belt, but not with a rope, because a belt you're going to want to use eventually, so you'll want to untie it. So it's a Kesha She'enu Shel Kayama, whereas a rope you're going to want to leave tied onto the pail. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's even mutter to do it with a rope. Klal Omer Rabbi Yehuda Kol Kesha She'enu Shel Kayama Ein Chayavin Lav. Whenever it's Kesha She'enu Shel Kayama, it's not a permanent knot, then you're not going to be chayiv for tying it. So Tosos already notices, wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, at the end of the Mishnah, when he gives this klal, what's he doing? Is he just reformulating what he has already stated in the Mishnah? He had already stated that it's mutter to tie the pail with a rope, and now he's just explaining why it's mutter? And he's saying, oh, it's mutter because Kesher She'enu Shel Kayama is mutter? Well, that doesn't really work, because look at his language. It's called Kesher She'enu Shel Kayama. Ein chayavin alav. Ein chayavin alav usually means pater avalaser. So it doesn't seem like it's an explanation of the earlier comment that he had in the Mishnah. So Tosa suggests in the third line on the page, v'yishlomer da'achikamer kol kesher she'enu shel kayama ein chayavin alav hashel kayama chayavin alav. The Rebbe is actually teaching a chumrah with that last line, unrelated to what it says to the first part of this Mishnah. What he's telling us is that it's only a kesher she'enu Shel Kayama that you're not chayiv on, but any knot that will remain there permanently, you're chayiv on, whether you would call that a knot or whether you would call that a bow. And even if you would call it a bow, even if it just looks like a bow, but it's Shel Kayama. So if it's Shel Kayama, you're going to be chayiv on. And we're going to see in the Gemara that is in fact the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos doesn't pull this out of thin air, meaning it's clearly the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that a bow is something that you're chayiv on. So Tosfos is reading it back into our Mishnah. Or we had a whole series of Mishnayos, and some of the Mishnayos taught us about things that are Patra V'Lasser, types of knots that are Patra V'Lasser. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to over here in this Mishnah, meaning all the Mishnayos are really meant to be read together, and Rabbi Yehuda's comment at the very end is going back on the Patra V'Lasser category. So says Gemara Chevel Demai, what kind of rope are we talking about in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says that according to the Tanakam, according to the Rabbanah, you're not allowed to tie a pail to a rope. So, if it's a regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, could Rabbi Yehuda ever be Matir such a thing? That's clearly a permanent knot. It must be that it's a weaver's rope, which he's going to need for his work, so he's not going to want to leave it attached to a bucket. So, wait, you're telling me that the Rabbanan would aser even a Chevel de Gardi, because the Rabbanan are inclined to make gezeros around the Malacha of Kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda is not inclined to make gezeros around the Malach of Kosher, so he's going to say a regular rope is aser, but a Chevel de Gardi is mutter, because there's no need to make a gzera. Yeah, is that how we're going to say? Ureminu, but I'll ask you a steer where we find the exact opposite. That if anybody is inclined to make gzeros around Kosher, it's Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rabbanan do not make gzeros around the Malach of Kosher, because the Brisa tells us, Chevel de Lisha Nifsak, if you have the rope that's attached to the bucket, that's attached to the pail, that snaps, lo ye kosher, don't retie it, can't tie a knot, ella own vo. The Rabbanim say, tie a bow. Rabbi Yehuda omer korich lof punda upiskia obavad shelo yan venu. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can wrap something around or do something like that, but you cannot tie a bow onto it. So kasha drabiuda, kasha drabanan ad rabbanan. So it's a double stira in both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, because when it comes to the bow, Rabbi Yehuda asers apparently because he's gozer a bow atu a knot, and the Rabbanan do not make such a gezera. Yet when it comes to the weaver's rope, the Rabbanan are the ones that make a gezera, and Rabbi Yehuda does not make a gezera. So the opinions seem to be flipped. So says Gemara, drabanan ad rabbanan lo kasha. Within the Rabbanan, it's not a stira. People might confuse two different types of ropes for each other. So the Rabbanan are inclined to make a gzeira, don't use a weaver's rope, lest you come to use a regular rope and tie the same kind of knot with a regular rope, and that's a reasonable gzeira to make. But no one would confuse a knot with a bow. They look nothing alike. And therefore, the Rabbanan don't see a need for a gzeira in such case. Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, and it's not a steen Rabbi Yehuda either. Hasan lo mishum de michlefa aniva bikshira. You think Rabbi Yehuda is based on the gezeira? That the reason he doesn't allow tying a bow is because he's gozer lest you come to tie a knot? No! El aniva gufa kshira hi. It's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that aniva is a kesher, that it is in fact a knot in its own right. It's not because of a gezeira shema what you might come to tie. La halacha, we paskin like the chacham, meaning what do we have over here? Not a machlokas on a drab. On a drabbanan level, machlokas on a d'oraisa level, is tying a bow a malacha d'oraisa of kosher or not? The rabbanan say no, and Rabbi Yehuda says yes, it's a malacha d'oraisa, and therefore it's aser. So how do we paskin? So we paskin like the chachamim that aniva is not a kesher, and you're allowed to make a bow on Shabbos, and even if it's going to be everlasting, meaning it's not something that you're just doing eino shalkayama, it's shalkayama, but it's not a kesher. It's not a kesher shalkayama, and therefore it's going to be mutter. There is a machlokas aposkim, though. What if you don't just make a bow, but you make the way we tie our shoes normally, which is first a knot, not a double knot, a single knot, and then a bow on top of that, right? Is that a malacha of kosher? So certainly if it's purely a bow and there's no knot beneath it that holds it in place, so that's perfectly mutter, we pass like the chachamim. But what if it's a bow on top of a knot? So that's a machlokas aposkim. The Beis Yosef and Arachayim Simon Shin Yod Zayin, right? That it's usher to make such a knot if it's l'kayama, because that is a kesher gomor. However, the Rama over there disagrees. The Rama and Sifei over there in Shin Yud Zayin Paskins, that that's always been the minhag. People always tie their shoes with or tie other things with a single knot followed by a bow on top of it, and therefore it's totally mutter. So it sounds like if a person, let's say, he's in the habit of tying his shoes and then slipping them off and leaving them off that way till the next week when he puts on his Shabbos shoes again. Or, I don't know, if he has many, many pairs of shoes, maybe he's not going to wear them for months. And that bow is going to stay tied in his shoe. It sounds from the simple reading of the Ramah that there's no problem, even though it's Shel Kayama, it's not a Kesher, it's an Aniva. We paskin like the Rabbana, not like Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Mishabura quotes a number of Achronim that even the Ramah is only Mati with the Kesher that you're only the Tiro Boba Yom, that you're going to untie that day. And the Chiddush is only that Aniva al Gabe Kesher is not considered a Maisa Uman, and therefore you're allowed to do it if it's Eino L'Kayama. But if it is L'Kayama, and it's meant to stay for a particular amount of time, then you would not be allowed to do it even according to the Ramah. So can you tie your shoes? Yes, but you have to then untie them on the same day when you take off your shoes. According to the Mishnah Brura, one should not even tie a regular bow if he's going, on top of a single knot, if he's going to leave it that way for a long period of time. That if a person wants, he wants to attach his cow to the feeder that the cow is eating out of, so he can tie one end of the rope to the cow and the other end of the rope to the feeder, to the trough that the cow is eating from. Says Rabbi Acha Aricha du Rabbi Acha Bar Papa. Rabbi Acha Aricha, this is the second time in the past few days where we had him, where we're calling him the Rabbi Acha, the tall guy, who is really Rabbi Acha Bar Papa. So he asked the question, the Rabbi Abba, that I have a brisa. It says, not that way. You're telling me I could take a rope, a loose rope that's not attached to anything, tie one end to the cow and the other end to the trough. Not so, because chevel should be evils, kosher bepara, v'shebepara, kosher beivus. The rope that's on the trough, that's already attached to the trough, you could tie the other end to the cow. Or if it's already attached to the cow, you could tie the other end to the trough. Ubilvad shelo yavi chevel mitoch pesuv yikshar beparu ubiyivus. But it's explicit in the Braisa. So you know what you can't do? You can't take a loose rope and then tie both ends, one to the cow and one to the trough. You would imagine normally you would, you know, you have one end of the rope that you leave on the trough and just leave it there. And whenever you need the cow to stay there, you tie the other end to the cow. And when you don't need the cow to stay there, you'll untie the cow. But the other, you know, the knot that's there, you would think is there. But if you're going to tie both ends, that's going to be aser. So says Gemara, isn't it a problem for what Rav said that maybe Adam Chavel Mitoch Beis of a Kosher Paro Beivos? Answers Gemara, Hasam Chavel Di Alma Hacha Chavel Di Gardi. That there's a difference between a regular rope and a weaver's rope. If it's a regular rope in a chinami, we're concerned that you're going to leave at least one end tied permanently because that's certainly the most convenient way to do it. Whereas a weaver's rope, no, you're going to want to use the rope. The weaver may need his rope, and therefore you're not going to leave it there permanently. I'm Rabbi Domer Shmuel. Klei Kavoi Mutu Taltam Shabbos. The weaver's utensils, you're allowed to be metal on Shabbos. It's not muktzah, even though you would think it's a classic example of a klisha melachta leiser because you use it for weaving. But these type parts, some of these utensils can be used for other activities as well that are mutter to do. So since they're usable for mutter activities as well, it's a klisha melachta leiser ula heter, and therefore it's not a violation of muktzah. So by me name Rav Yehuda covered elyon v'kovad atachton mahu. So what about the top beam and the bottom beam of the loom where the chutei hashesi are attached to? The strings that go up and down are attached to a top beam and a bottom beam. So are those muktza? So in v'lav rafya biyadei. Yeah, no, he wasn't sure. It maram rav nachman rav shmuel klei kevayim mutal talam shabbos afilu kovad elyon v'kovad atachton, that we have explicitly in the name of Shmuel that even the upper and lower beams are mutter to be mutal talam shabbos aval lo es hamudim, but the side posts that support those beams, that hold those beams into place, those you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Why is it that those side posts are any different than the Kovad Elyon and Kovad HaTachton, than the upper and lower beams of the loom? Why would the side posts be more strict? So, you're going to tell me, oh, because if you remove those posts, they're stuck in the ground. So when you pull them out of the ground, it leaves a gaping hole in the ground. And that's a melach of boned or choresh to dig a hole in the ground. So, gumos mimelekavian, that's not true. When you pull the post out of the ground, the hole was always there, and you pull the post out, so now it exposes the hole that was always there. Let's say you have a bar filled with something, filled with peiros. You're not allowed to take the peiros out of the bar? You're allowed to take the peiros out of the bar, forgetting hotzah and rishos yach. But assuming everything's in rishos yach, you're allowed to take the peiros out of the bar. It's not called that you're making a bar. So yeah, the post is in the ground, but you're not making a hole in the ground. Ditznana, tomin, and how do I know that that's true, that if a hole is memela, that it just comes memela, that it's not a problem? From a Mishnah Maseches Klayim, the Mishnah tells us Hatomein Lefes Utznonos Tachas Hagefen. If let's say you want to preserve your turnips or your radishes, you don't want them to go bad, so you put them in a cool area. What's the coolest area to put them in? You bury them under the ground a little bit. So you're not doing it to plant them. You're not looking for future growth, for more growth out of them. You just want them to be preserved under the ground. So you put Lefes and Tznonos under the, and which ground do you choose? You dafka choose right underneath your grapevine. So if some of the leaves are revealed above ground, meaning the vegetable is not entirely buried underground, then you don't have to worry. Lomishum klayim, it's not a problem of kilei akerim just because you planted it under a grapevine, because you didn't really plant it. You just put it away. You're just trying to keep it cool. Velomishum shavis, it's not a violation of working the karka during the Shemitah year. Velomishum meiser, and it's not going to be a problem of meiser when you pull it out of the ground, because even if you have peiros that you already took meiser from, if you then plant them, replant them, and they grow, and then you pull them out of the ground again, it's going to be chayv and meiser again, right? You're going to go back to a chi of meiser, it's going to become tevel again. But over here, you didn't replant it, you just buried it underground. V'nitalin b'Shabbos, and here's the reason why we're quoting this, nitalin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to pull them out of the ground on Shabbos. It's going to leave a gaping hole in the ground, so apparently we don't have a problem with that. Apparently any hole that comes memela, when you pull out the contents of the hole, is not going to be a problem. So it says, big difference. When it comes to the field, that's not unlikely that you're going to try to fix that hole. I mean, you're right, the hole itself is not a violation of choresh or bono or anything, because it was already there. The concern is that you might try to be mashva the guma, you might try to fill in the hole, and that's going to be a malacha of bona. So we're not worried about that in the field, because you don't need an even ground in the field. But in the house, we're concerned you're going to come to do that. The loom is located in the house. So when it comes to the vineyard, that's Besada, that's Bekerem, that's somewhere else. But the loom is in the house, and that's why the side posts of the loom cannot be moved on Shabbos. So by me, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, by Levi, Klei Kivai, Kugon Kavod, Elyon Kavod, Atachlan Mal, Atachlan the Shabbos. So he asked, what about the upper and lower beam of the loom? So we already had a brice before that said it's mutter. So I'm like, Ein Metaltlan. No, it's Aser. It's an Israel Moksa. Matam, Lefishay Nitalin. And the reason is, no one would ever use those parts of the loom for anything else, even on a weekday, because they're so heavy. And therefore, they're a klishim lachta l'isser. Since they don't have any other use other than to serve as part of a loom, so they become a klishim lachta l'isser, and then it becomes a matter of mukta. Good, new mission now. Mekaplan esakel mafil arba v'chamisha pa'amim. You can fold your clothing even 4 or 5 times on Shabbos. The concern with folding things is twofold. First of all, no pun intended, that you're being masak in the beged by making a solid crease in the beged. It's also a matter of hachana, that you're preparing it for later, for its next usage. So you're allowed to be mekapel the beged 4 or 5 times, umatzinas hamitos milele Shabbos Shabbos, and you're allowed to prepare the beds from lele Shabbos, from Friday night, if you want to take a nap again on Shabbos afternoon, avalo mi Shabbos mosay Shabbos. But you wake up from your nap on Shabbos afternoon, or Shabbos morning, if you don't plan on taking a nap on Shabbos afternoon, and you're not allowed to make the bed for Motzai Shabbos, because that's a violation of Hachana, to prepare the bed for Motzai Shabbos. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, black on white, it says you're not allowed to make the beds on Shabbos. So how do you explain that to your wife? Right? She'll tell you, what are you talking about? You have to make the bed. Like, you know, you can't leave the bed a mess. So Pashtus is, it's not referring, when we talk about Hatzos Hamita and Chazal, it's not referring to what we think of as making the bed. Hatzos, if it were a matter of Hachana, so then Hachana is only when the purpose of doing it is to prepare for the next time. Very often, the reason we're making our beds, like for example, do we make our beds right before we go to sleep? No, we're not preparing the bed for sleeping. In fact, if you haven't made your bed all day, and then you're about to go to sleep, you'll just go to bed. There's no sense in making it. What's our primary kavan in making our bed? Is so that it should look neat throughout the course of the day. I remember I once asked Rav Shechter about brushing teeth on Shabbos. The first thing I ever wrote, 20 years ago, was about an article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society about brushing teeth on Shabbos. So I collected all of the problems that the poskim have with brushing teeth on Shabbos, all the 8 different yisurim that poskim line up about brushing teeth on Shabbos. I know that Rav Shechter was mekel about this, so I went to him and I asked him one after the other, why is it not a problem of schita? Why is it not a problem of marech? Why is it not a problem? So one thing Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Rav Moshe says if you brush your teeth, Rav Moshe holds you can't use toothbrush, you can't use toothpaste, and you certainly can't even wet the toothbrush, Rav Moshe holds, it's a violation of schita. But Rav Moshe says even if you brush with a dry brush, you can't wash it off afterwards. Why? Hachana! Because the only reason you're washing it off is to prepare it for next time. So I asked Rav Shechter, do you hold that it's hachana to wash it off afterwards? He said, I don't know. If I were to leave a dirty toothbrush around the sink on Shabbos morning, my wife would get angry at me on Shabbos. It wouldn't take her till after Shabbos to be upset by the mess. Meaning, what he meant to say is that it's not a violation of hachana when you're doing it for right now. Hachana is doing it for later. This comes up elsewhere as well in Hilchos Nida. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Maseches Ksubos writes that kol melacha she'isha osa l'bayla nida osa l'bayla, that anything that a woman who's tahora can do for her husband, a nida could also do for her husband, chutz, with 3 exceptions, mezigas hakos, hatsoas hamita, and archatos ponav yadav haraglav, which is not an exhaustive list of all the archakos. When I teach chasanim, I always tell them, you know, if this were it, then it would be pretty easy. But, you know, because how often do you need a mezigas hakos, and, you know, and hatsoas hamita we'll discuss in a moment, and I always say, archatos ponav yadav haraglav, I don't know what you're expecting in marriage, but if you come home one day and say, you know, these feet need washing, you know, it's not going to work out so well. So, but what's hatsoas hamita? Hatsoas hamita means preparing the bed for its next use. That's what it's what they call in hotels, in fancy hotels, turn down service. Not the making the beds just to straighten out the room, when they prepare the bed and they put the little chocolate on the pillow or something and they prepare the bed for its next use. That's the pashas what Atzos Hamita means there. It's the pashas of what Atzos Hamita means here. So if you're just straightening things out, that's pashas, that's mutter on Shabbos if you want to be in the room and you don't want to mess around the room on Shabbos. But anyway, Rabbi Shmuel, Katlanas Akel Matsinas Amitos. You can fold your clothing and set the beds miyom kippurim l'Shabbos, from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. That since Shabbos has a higher level of kedusha than Yom Kippurim, it's not a violation. The chalvei Shabbos craven biyom kippurim. Not only that, the chalavim of the karbanos of Shabbos could be brought on Yom Kippur, because again, Shabbos is a higher level of kedusha. Avolosh shel Yom Kippurim b'Shabbos, but not the reverse. Rabbi Akiva omer lo shel Shabbos craven biyom kippurim, lo shel Yom Kippurim craven b'Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't go either way. Not Yom Kippurim on Shabbos, nor Shabbos on Yom Kippurim, nor the chalavim of the karbanos of Shabbos on Yom Kippurim. Says Gemara Midvei Rabbi Yannai, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'Adam Echad. Now we're going to give four qualifications about folding kelim. We said you're allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos. The Mishnah said four or five times. The Gemara is going to make four qualifications. Not so fast. It's not always going to be mutter. Number one, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'Adam Echad B'Shnei B'Nei Adam Lo. That's only if it's one person. If it's two people folding together, then it's going to be a really tight crease, and that's going to be problematic. Secondly, Lo Ba'Adam Echad Nami Lo Amar Ela B'Chadoshim Av B'Yishanim Lo. That the Isser is only, the heter is only with new clothing. Older clothing, it's going to be usser. What difference does it make if it's new clothing or older clothing? So when you think from a 21st century American perspective, it doesn't make any sense. But you have to realize the difference between old clothing and new clothing in really all of history until very, very recently was that new clothing was still thick, and then you would wear the clothing not till it went out of style, way past that. You would wear the clothing until it would wear so thin that it was unwearable anymore. So that's the bloody, you know, that the Gemara talks about all the time. That you have this, you know, way past when the suit gets shiny, you know, like way past that, till the point that it becomes something that's come out unusable. So new clothing is thick material. Old clothing is a thinner material. You're less likely to be able to make really powerful creases in new clothing because it's a thicker material. In old clothing, you can make really strong creases. So that's why we're saying you can't do old clothing, you can't fold old clothing on Shabbos, because that's going to make very strong creases. V'chadashim nami lamar, and even with new clothing, there's a third qualification. Lamar el b'levanim, aval b'tzvuim lo, only with white clothing, not with colored clothing. And a fourth qualification, lamar el she'in lo lahachlif. That's only if you have no other clothing to change into. Aval yeshel lahachlif. But if you have Shabbos clothing that you're able to change into, then there's no need to fold your weekday clothing. Aval yeshel lahachlif lo. So that brings us to the topic of Shabbos clothing. So Tana Shal Beis Rav Gamliel Lo Yimakaplim Klei Lavan Shalhen Mnei Shahayla Lahachlif. In the Beis Rav Gamliel, they wouldn't even their white clothing, which is more of a heter, they wouldn't fold because they had the Beis Rav Gamliel or Ashirim. They had Shabbos clothing to wear, and that was considered to be a luxury to be able to have Shabbos clothing. So when it comes to the chiyuv to wear Shabbos clothing, Shulchan Aruch Nesim Reish Samach Beis Sif Beis writes Yishtadel Shiyu Lo Begadim Noyim LeShabbos. Person should be mishtadel to have nice clothing for Shabbos. So what do you get from that? That it's not really a chiyuv, or that it's... So on the one hand, you could say that, that's exactly what it's telling us, that it's not really a chiyuv, it's something that one should work really hard to do. On the other hand, you might say, no, maybe yishtadel is a lashon that's stronger than a chiyuv, that normally a chiyuv is, you know, up until a certain point, but then beyond that, you would say, anus rachmana patri, or beyond, you don't have to spend more than a certain amount, you don't have to travel more than a certain amount, but yishtadel, no, work really hard, go to the ends of the earth to be able to secure this. So you have to look in elsewhere where the Shulchan Aruch has a lashon of yishtadel. So the Shulchan Aruch has a lashon of yishtadel in Siman Reish Nun as well. It says, afilu yesh lo kama avadun l'sh that even if you have a lot of avadim to be mishamish you, yishtadel to do hachanas for Shabbos on your own. So the Bir Halacha comments over there that from the lashon yishtadel you see that it's not a chiyuv gomur, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes that as well, that it's not a chiyuv gomur, it's just a hidur mitzvah to show that you're excited for Shabbos. The Gemara tells us about the holy Tanoim and Amoraim that would work on Erev Shabbos. They had other things to do, they could have been learning instead, but they swept the house and they prepared the fish, and they did certain things. Rav Pam's grandson told me that Rav Pam used to make a kugel every Erev Shabbos. It wasn't a bad kugel, but probably Bubby could have done just as good. But he wanted to do something that was dafka that he was doing, lekavet Shabbos. So that's one place where you have Yishtadel. The other place where you have Yishtadel, there's probably more than these two places, but the other place where it comes up is in Siman Sadi, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Yishtadel Adam Lispal Bebeis HaKnesses HaMatzibur. That a person should be Mishtadel to daven in Shul with a minion. So what does that mean? Does that mean that it's a Chi of Gomer? So Ramesha says, yeah, it's a Lashon of Yishtadel, and our Chaim Chel Beis HaMchavzayim, Negus Moshe, he writes, Lashon of Yishtadel means greater than a regular Chi of. When it says Yishtadel, it's because sometimes a person is apart from Tefillah B'tzibur, like if it's a tircha meruba, like going Yosef Mimil, so I might think that other tirchos you also don't have to go through in order to daven b'tzibur. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch has to strengthen us and say, there's one heter about how far you have to travel. Otherwise, yishtadel. Otherwise, change your schedule. Do whatever you can in order to daven b'tzibur. In the Emek Bracha, and Rav Shach the Pasuk is this way as well, in the Emek Bracha, he says, no, yishtadel means that it's a midas chasidus. It's certainly the best way to daven, but it is not a chiyuv. Yishtadel means you should try your best. So, similar to how we have what the Bir Halacha writes in Simin Reish Nun. Okay, so over here we have this idea of Shabbos clothing. So Amar Rav Huna, Im Yesh L'Lachlif Yachlif. V'imein L'Lach. So if you have Shabbos clothing, great, wear it. V'imein L'Lachlif. If you don't have Shabbos clothing, Yishalshel B'Begadav. What you should do is lower the hems of your clothing, meaning wear long on Shabbos. So if you wear a short jacket during the week, but there's a way to lengthen that jacket, you should do that on Shabbos. So why? What does that accomplish? So Rashi points out that that was the Derech HaAshirim. The Ashirim used to go with longer clothing. Why would Ashirim go with longer clothing? What, to brag that they could afford more material? No, because it's more difficult to do work when you're wearing longer clothing. You know how long it takes to master the, like, flip up and then sit down? You know, it's like it takes, it's not easy to move around when you're wearing longer clothing. So the Ashirim, who didn't have to do that much work, so they would wear longer clothing. So what a beautiful thing to do for Shabbos. You want to do for Shabbos, and you can't afford Shabbos clothing, so you express your covenant of Shabbos by showing, I'm wearing clothing that's clearly not work clothing. This is clothing that one could not work in a practical sense. So that's what Yishal Shel Begadav, if a person is unable to afford Shabbos clothing. That's a practice many people have. They wear short jackets during the week, and they'll wear long on Shabbos. It's based on the Gemara. So Maskef L'Rav of Safra, of a Mischazi Karamas Rucha. So Rav Safra says, but doesn't look like an act of arrogance? It's like a Balkaiva. What are you walking around like an usher if you're not an usher? So Kivin de Kol Yom Lo Kavid Ve'idna Hu de Kavid Lo Mischazi Kramas Rucha. If he dressed that day every day, that would be Ramas Rucha. That would be Gaiva. But since he doesn't dress like that normally, and it's only on Shabbos that he goes out of his way to dress like that, so it's obvious that he's doing that Lo Kavid Shabbos, and he's not doing that as a sense of Gaiva. So now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, probably the most famous Pasuk in Yeshayahu. If people know one Pasuk in Yeshayahu, they know this Pasuk, other than Kedusha. Pasuk says, "Im tashi mishabes raglecha asos chafetzecha b'yom kachi v'karasa l'shabes oneg l'kdosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadeto me'asos terachecha v'imtzo cheftzecha v'daber dovar." So now we're going to darshan this pasuk. V'chibadeto me'asos terachecha. V'chibadeto means shloye mabushcha shel Shabbos k'mabushcha shel chol, that your Shabbos clothing should not be like your weekday clothing. V'chiyad Rabbi Yochanan kari l'manei mechabdosai, that Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothing that which honors him. So that's what we dart, meaning a person is dignified by wearing, should appear dignified by the type of clothing he wears. That his clothing should be together, it should be look dignified. Although we don't, we try to avoid judging people by the type of clothing that they wear or anything like that, by all sorts of chitonius. I just finished reading the biography of Rav David Trenk. So one thing I learned is don't you look at the neshama. You don't look at the outside of the person. You look at the neshama. But there was a boy that came to an interview at Adelphia once, and he came with his jeans and a t-shirt to the bechina for the yeshiva, and he looked around the yeshiva and he saw everyone was dressed yeshivish, everyone was dressed normally. So the boy apologized to Rabbi Trenk that, "I'm sorry I'm dressed like this." Rabbi Trenk puts his hand on his shoulder and he says, "I promise you, I mamish don't even see it. I don't even see." Yeah, that's when we relate to other people. But for ourselves, mechabdusei, a person is supposed to look dignified. A person is supposed to dress like a ben melech. A person should dress in a dignified way. So that's what we learn mechabdusei, that on Shabbos, a person should wear proper Shabbos clothing, different Shabbos clothing if he can afford it. There's actually three different shittos as to why one has to wear Shabbos clothing. The she'iltos ravachaygon in she'ilta aleph says that a person is supposed to be misaneg b'Shabbos b'machol b'mishta, that we're supposed to enjoy Shabbos with good food and good drink, ulechabed eser Shabbos b'ksus, and we're mechabed Shabbos with nice clothing. So it's a din of kavod Shabbos. The Rambam in Parak Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, umi kavod haShabbos shiyilbos ksus nikiya, that it's a din of kavod Shabbos. However, the Zohar in Parshas Vayakhel writes that wearing Big Day Shabbos is a din of Oneg Shabbos. Kavod and Oneg are different from each other. The Gra writes in Hilchos Yom Tov that Kavod Shabbos is what you do in advance of Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is what you do on Shabbos to enjoy the Shabbos. Nice clothing can go either way. That you put on nice clothing before Shabbos to show that you're getting excited to greet the Shabbos, but also that when you wear nice clothing, you feel like a mensch. So it's an Oneg Shabbos that you enjoy the clothing. But then there's a third reason that the Orchos Chaim quotes in Hilchos Erev Shabbos, Simen Tes, and he says you should wear a beged miyuchad the Shabbos in order to remember that it's Shabbos and you won't come to do malacha. That if a person might forget himself and might come to accidentally do malacha, wait, why am I wearing a tie? Oh, Shabbos. And then he'll know not to do malacha. Why am I wearing a law? Whatever it is that he wears, the kavod Shabbos, he'll chap it, and that might prevent him from doing malacha. There may be several nafkaminas in that machlok, because we don't have time to go through all of them now. But one interesting one that I saw is when it comes to clothing that one wears to sleep. The Kavod Chaim writes in the name of the Pele Yoetz that it would be a great idea to have Shabbos pajamas also. So if the reason is kavod and oneg Shabbos, I don't know how much you enjoy different pajamas on Shabbos. Certainly not kavod Shabbos, because you're not getting in your pajamas before Shabbos. But if the reason is because you need a reminder not to do malacha, so when is it most likely that a person is going to forget that it's Shabbos and do a malacha? He wakes up in the middle of the night, he goes to the bathroom, and then that's when he might accidentally, out of habit, turn off the light. So that's where the Shabbos pajamas might come in handy. So maybe a nafkamina and that machlokas, and maybe many other nafkaminas as well, but not for now. So anyway, so says Gemara me'asos drachecha, continuing to darshan the pasuk, shloye hiluchach shel Shabbos. You shouldn't walk on Shabbos the same way you walk during the week. And Mimtzo Chavtzcha tells us that you're not supposed to talk about or engage in your own business dealings, but you could talk about Chavtzei Shemayim. You could talk about Tinok Lelamdo Sefer, Leshadei Chabanos. You could talk about Poskin Letzedaka. How much money are you going to give to Tzedaka? Those are all Chavtzei Shemayim. V'daber Dovar, Shloye Diburcha Shel Shabbos Ki Diburcha Shel Chol. That the way one speaks on Shabbos should not be the same way one speaks during the week. Dibur asur, hirur mutter. Speaking is asur, but hirur is mutter. To think about such things on Shabbos is mutter. So it is interesting that we say shloi diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol, because after all, the Gemara just got through saying chafetzecha asurim chefzei shemay mutarim. That's also about speech, l'chora. So what are we adding by saying diburcha shel Shabbos should not be like your dibur of chol? So Tosus writes that Rashi says that it's all about diburim, about mekach u'memkar, but ain't nir l'rabin atam, because that iser is already derived from himself chefzecha. So what are we adding with this limud? So Rabin atam says it refers to what the Medrash talks about in Vayikra Rabbah. The Reb Shim ben Yochai had an elderly mother who would speak a lot, and he would say, Ima, Shabbos hu, Vishaska, and that would keep her quiet, meaning that there's actually a thing that you're not supposed to talk too much on Shabbos. That's what it means, Diburcha Shel Shabbos, shouldn't be Ki Diburcha Shel Chol, just to refrain from speaking so much on Shabbos, like one does during the week. Lest you think this has nothing to do with the Halacha, the Trumas Hadesh and Tshuvas Siman Samech Aleph, quoted by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Zayin, the Trumas Hadesh discusses that he's seen that Noagim Rov B'nei Adam, that a lot of people have this practice, even B'daktikim B'maaseihem, even people who are very careful about the way they behave, to gather together after Shul on Shabbos, after Yitzhiyah Mibes HaKnesses, Ulesaper Me'inyani Melachim V'sarim, oh, what decision did the governor make about camps, and what did this one do, and what about the president, and they start talking about politics outside of Shul, not inside of Shul, Chas V'Shul, but outside of Shul, they started talking about politics, and gathering together, have like a little social scene outside of shul after davening on Shabbos. He says, L'chora, that's aser. It's aser to be marbe b'dvarim on Shabbos, especially even as much as the week, especially more than you ever would on a weekday. Who has time to stop and schmooze on a weekday? And then he says, but you know what? Maybe there's a heter. He says, because a lot of these people really enjoy talking about this stuff. Hard to relate to, says Trumas Deshen, you know, enjoy talking and learning, but there are people that enjoy talking about this stuff. So if that's their Oneg Shabbos, so then maybe it's mutter. Then it's not considered Dibur Shel Chol. But then the Trumas Deshen adds, But I see, some of these people don't really enjoy it. They just do it because their friends enjoy it, and they're doing it because of social pressure. You know, like the guy that's like yanking at his wife already, knew, let's go home already, let's go home, enough, right? For that guy, he's not allowed to keep talking. He's got to go home, because if you're not enjoying it, then it's not an Onik Shabbos. And the Ramah paskins this in Shulchan Aruch. So that's the extra chiddush of Dibur Shel Shabbos, not be like Dibur Shel Chol. So Bishlam Makuli Lechi. I understand what all these things mean. But to walk differently on Shabbos than you do during the week, Mahi, what does that mean? If you're walking on Shabbos and you come across a puddle, if you're able to take a giant step over the puddle without having to jump, mutter, that's great. Vimlav, usser. But if you're going to have to jump, then it's usser. So, Maskal Rava, Heich Levin, well, what are you supposed to do? Like, if you want to walk around the puddle, come up, then you're going to be walking longer, and you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. That's more of a tircha. Liaver, you want to walk right through it? Zimnin de mitzvahs and mani maya. Sometimes your clothing is going to get soaked, vasil de schita, and you come to squeeze it out. El bahak, even de lo efshar shapir dami. But since you don't have any other choice, so clearly you're allowed to jump over the puddle. So that can't be the issur of walking on Shabbos like you walk during the week, because you're allowed to jump over a puddle. Elik de bami nevi rab mi rabbi Yishmael b'rabbi Yossi. Ma'aliv so psia gasa b'shabbos. Question is, how broad should your strides be on Shabbos? That you're not allowed to, so Amalei b'chi b'chol mi hutra. Wait, even on a weekday, are allowed to take these long strides? Shaniyomer p'siyah gasim tells echon mechamesh meyos mimara inav shal adam u'mahadle b'kedushas b'shimshi, that when you take long strides, it takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight, but it comes back at kiddush on Friday night. So that's only if you take long strides during the week. But long strides on Shabbos, that's what it means. You're not supposed to walk on Shabbos like you do during the week. B'aymine Rebbe me'Rebbe Yishmael b'Rebbe Yossi. Ma lechol adam b'Shabbos? Can you eat dirt on Shabbos? Why on earth would a person want to eat dirt? Again, no pun intended. Why would a person want to eat dirt? So as a doctor told me in shul today after the daf shir that there's a condition, there's actually a medical condition where people have a craving for dirt. Okay, so such a thing exists. So can he eat his dirt pies on Shabbos? So you're allowed to do that during the week. It's unhealthy. It will hurt you. So you're not allowed to do it even on a weekday. If you eat the dirt of Bavel, that's like eating the flesh of your forefathers. And some say it's like eating Shinar. Why is the place called Shinar? Because all the Mesei Mabel were dumped there. That the Mesei Mabel sank to that location. Clearly the Shkatzim Ramasim have already disintegrated, so you're not actually eating them. So I'm going to keep it to Malki, goes to Rabbanan. No, but since they're so unhealthy, the Rabbanan word goes there that it's like eating Shkatzim Ramasim because they're so terribly unhealthy. Because there was a guy that ate some earth, some clay, and then he ate some cress, and a cress tree grew in his stomach until it hit his heart and umis, and he died. So that's the Maramakam for don't swallow the watermelon seeds because the watermelon tree is going to grow in your stomach. That's the Makar in Shas. But you have to, what your mother didn't tell you is that you have to eat dirt first. But usually it's the same personality type, the one who eats the dirt and the one who eats all the pits. Anyway, so Rus is told to get dressed. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Eil Begadim Shel Shabbos. That's a reference to Big Day Shabbos, because of course she was dressed anyway. It must be to wear special Big Day Shabbos. Tein L'chacham Yakamoda. And Rus is a good example of someone who, when you tell them something wise, they make it even wiser. They do something even wiser. They expand it. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Zu Rus HaMoavi, Yashmuel and Masi. We have one example where Rus did this, another where Shmuel. Rus, Dilu Nami Kamra, Lav Rechatz V'sakta V'samta Sum L'sayi Chalach HaVirad Ta'Gorin, get dressed and then go down to the Gorin. V'ilu B'didaksiv, but when she actually acted, it says, V'ater Ta'Gorin, V'hadar V'tas Kal HaShutzav Tzachamosa. That first she went to the Gorin, then she changed into the nice clothing. Why should it would be a princess if she was all dressed up and she would meet all these young men along the way? So she waited until she got to the Gorin, so she had extra chachma. Shmuel dilu Eli kamerle, when Shmuel thought he was hearing voices and he thought Eli was calling him in the middle of the night, so Eli told him, no, it's Hashem calling you. So shchav ayim yikra elecha v'marta daber Hashem ki shomei avdecha, when you hear it again, say Hashem, speak, your Eved is listening. V'ilu b'didei ksiv, but when it came time for Shmuel, ksivbe, when it came time for Shmuel to actually hear that voice, the pasuk says, v'yavah Hashem yisyata v'yikra kipam v'pam, Shmuel, he called him twice, Shmuel lashon chiba, v'yomer Shmuel daber. He said, speak. He didn't say the Ber Hashem, because you never know. If it wasn't Hashem, he didn't want to say the name in vain. Going back to Rus, she kept going back and forth till she found proper people to be her entourage rather than be in the company of people who may have ill intentions. So Boaz asked, who is this Na'ara? Is that the style that Boaz is going to ask about a Na'ara? So Amar Boaz, Dvar Chachma Rabba. No, he saw something that was very impressive about her. Shnei Shibal Lakta, Shlosh Shibal Nein Lakta. If there were two stalks, she would pick them, like an Ani is allowed to, that's Leket. If there were three, it's not Leket, and she knew that, so she wouldn't pick it. Or Masis Otan, Dvar Tznius Rabba. He saw that she was very Tanua, Omdos Mu'uma, Noflos Miyushav. That the standing stalks she would pick while standing, and the ones that were on the ground, she wouldn't bend over, because that's a lack of Tznius, so she would sit, she would lower her entire body. Is it the derech of Boaz to be mistabek with women? So this is a reference to a particular psak halacha. He saw that Rus was davka to her mother-in-law. So Boaz paskin that it's mutter to marry this girl, even though she's from Moav. And he said Geshialom. That was a remez. I see the Malchus Beisavid. Lot says Mimcha that the Malchus Beisavid is going to emerge from you. Duchsiv Bei Halom. It says Halom by the Malchus Beisavid. Shemar Vayomer Malchav Yishol Bnei Hashem. Vayomer Mi Anochi Adoni Hashem. Mi Beisi Umi Beisi Kiyev Yisani Ad Halom. Who am I that I deserve this? That I got to Halom. That I've got to this point. V'tavalta Pitcha B'chometz. And you should dip your bread in vinegar. What was Boaz trying to say? Amar Blazer Mikan Shachometz Yafal L'Sharif. You see that chometz is good if there's a heat wave. Rabbi Shmuel Barachmani Amar Remez Ramazla. No, he's giving her a remez. Asid ben lotzis mukhasha maysav kasha kachometz. You're going to have one descendant whose actions are going to be quite terrible, like vinegar. Umanu Menashe, and that's the wicked king Menashe. Vateisha mitzad hakotzim, and she sat next to the kotzim. Rabbi Blazer mitzad hakotzim lo b'toch hakotzim, not among the kotzim, next to the kotzim. Remez Ramazla. That was a remez that the Malchus Beis David is going to be split in the times of Rechavim and Yeravim. The pasuk uses three expressions of having plenty, of eating a lot, of enjoying. So it's referring to three different time periods. Vatochal bimei David, Vatisba is bimei Shlomo, Vatosar is bimei Chizkiah. V'ikadamri Vatochal is bimei David u'bimei Shlomo. That covers both David and Shlomo. Vatisba is bimei Chizkiah, Vatosar is bimei Rabbi. Damar Mar. Aharure de Rebbe have a atim shvar malki. Even the stable boys of Rebbe's house were richer than King Shavur. V'masnisatan v'tochel bal mazeh. Third interpretation: v'tochel means an ol mazeh. V'tisba zimash mashiach and v'tosar is liasud lavo. Okay, we'll stop there. And Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Sorry, I went a couple of minutes longer than usual. Everyone, a good tovach, and tomorrow morning 7:45 a.m. Have a good night, everyone.